Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast, speaking to you today about the glory of God, something soon to be manifest in the Church of the Living God in a degree that we've never known. I told you that when I was working for Brother Kenneth E. Hagin back in the 70s, I was the editor of publication. The Lord said to him, "It would behoove you to look up every scripture and learn all you can about the glory of God." He did that. He listed those scriptures on a piece of paper. And then, I can remember so well, he would be sitting up on the platform before he did his evening meeting, and he would kind of jump a little bit. And the Lord had spoken to him to change his subject, and he got his Bible case, and he'd get out these scriptures. He'd go to the platform, and he'd start reading on the glory of God. He might be reading how when Moses finished the tabernacle, it was filled with the glory of God. He might get down to the place in 2 Chronicles where Solomon finished the temple, and it was filled with the glory of God, and all the priests fell over. He might be reading where it was manifesting on the top of Mount Sinai as a smoke or a fire. He might get down to the place in the New Testament where the heavens opened, and as Stephen was preaching, and he looked up and he saw the glory of God. But sometime in that reading, something would happen. It usually seemed to me it would be to Brother Hagin's left, congregation's right, in the back. There would come in a cloud, like a rolling cloud, that was filled with light and glory and the presence of God. It would roll up from the back of the congregation, pick up the people. They'd fall usually. Sometimes they'd come to the front. And there'd be amazing miracles. An unusual presence of God would fill the congregation. Like a wave, it would roll across the congregation. Signs and wonders would follow, as God confirmed his word with signs following. Inspired, and I'm reading to you from my book, The Blood and the Glory, page 20. Inspired by the evidently supernatural touch upon this subject, and led by the Spirit, I'm sure, I received a thought that affected the rest of my life and ministry. This is the thought. If it would behoove Brother Hagin to study these scriptures, it would behoove me. So I determined to study the glory. About the same time I made another decision, our rapidly growing Sunday school class included many new believers unfamiliar with the overall plan of God. So I decided to begin at Genesis and take an overview of God's plan of redemption. The two studies so merged that I came to see the Bible as the story of the glory. For a few years, I experienced a most wonderful Holy Spirit-guided course of learning. It was interspersed with vision, which brought precious insight into the glory of His plan. At the time I wrote this book, I said my now 20-year-long study of, it's now been almost 40 years, my study of, meditation on, preaching about, yearning and watching for the glory of God, is condensed in this book and offered because it fits. The blood and the glory go together in God's wonderful plan of redemption. And I hit upon a phrase, "Oh, what a planner! Oh, what a plan!" Now this chapter is called "The World That Then Was." What I'm going to talk to you about today is, my daughter Brenda calls, controversial. But you know, we just shouldn't be so controversial, so have so much controversy. We should be able to sit down and discuss the scriptures. I know Brother Hagin, he and Brother Goodwin would stay up all night long discussing the Bible. And when I first met Brother Hagin, one of his best friends, maybe the best friend, was Brother Goodwin. And Brother and Sister Goodwin pastored in Pasadena, Texas, and moved in the powerfully in the gifts of the Spirit. We have a book about them and about their ministry in the Spirit that's wonderful. If you want to call us, I've forgotten the name of it right now. If you just say Brother Goodwin and you call, they'll give you that book, tell you about it and how they moved in the Spirit. But Brother Goodwin, he would come in once a month for our, we would have a meeting of employees. Now, we only had 12 or 13 employees. And our employee meeting was a spiritual one. They would come up from Texas. They'd move in the gifts of the Spirit. And every single time he'd walk over to my desk and he'd say, today I'm going to teach you about such and such. And he'd teach me something. He'd just start off saying, today I'm going to teach you about this. Today I'm going to teach you about that. And I asked Mrs. Goodwin about it when he went on to heaven, Brother Goodwin. And she said, you know, the Lord told Brother Goodwin there were two girls that he was going to use, Marilyn Hickey and Billy Brim. And he wanted him to teach them and put into us. So I asked Marilyn about it later on. She said, yes, he would do me the exactly same way. Every time he came, you got a little single Bible lesson. Now, this was the one Bible lesson for one day. He said, I'm going to teach you today that you're going to learn the most from those you disagree with or who disagree with you. You would disagree with them. He said, people you agree with, you'll talk and that'll be good. But he said, people who disagree with you, if you're an honest person, they will drive you to the Word. And in the Word, that's always good to get into the Word. If you go there, you will find out one of two things. Number one, you will find out perhaps that they are right and you are wrong, in which case it's to your good for you to change. Or number two, you will find out that you are right and you will strengthen your position, which is good for you. So never go back from, if you disagree about something, you can still love each other. He said, for instance, take me and Kenneth Hagin, for instance. He said, I've learned more from that man than any man on earth. Yet he said, there are a few things he believes, I hardly can see how he believes them, and I still believe I've strengthened my position. Now, what that was between those two that they would talk about so much was the pre-Adamic civilization. Brother Hagin believed there was a pre-Adamic civilization, and Brother Goodwin did not. Some of my best friends do not believe that there was. And so I go to one particularly marvelous spiritual man, good man, touch of God on his life. And he'll say to me, now don't teach on the pre-Adamic civilization while you're here. And I say, fine, well and good. You know, I remember when I read Brother Hagin's books, he used to have three little books called about demons and their origins. I don't know if they still have those or not, because they put a lot of them into this book, The Triumphant Church, which we're offering as a radio offer this week. But in there, he started off by saying, I'm not dogmatic about this subject. He said, I'm not even pupmatic. But he said, here's why I believe what I believe. And that's where I first found out. I'm not so smart to figure out these things on my own. But in his book, Brother Hagin has started out with the origins of Satan and his kingdom. Now I'm reading to you from the Triumphant Church, which is in our offer, our radio offer this week. And on page 2, he says, to know the beginnings of Satan, the origins of Satan and his kingdom, we have to go back to the book of beginnings. Well, that's what's called in the Hebrew, Bereshit, in the beginning. Hints of a possible pre-Adamic kingdom. I'm reading Kenneth E. Hagin. The origin and fall of Satan, or Lucifer, as he was called, is made fairly clear in Scripture. He was called Lucifer before his expulsion and fall from heaven, but Satan after his expulsion and fall. The origin of demons, devils, or evil spirits is not made so clear. Some Bible scholars believe millions of years elapsed between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. And some believe there could have been an original earthly kingdom before the creation recorded in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the people who do believe that there was a pre-Adamic civilization believe that there was a long gap of time. It's called the gap theory. And it's a theory since we can't absolutely prove it, but I believe there are scriptures that make it clear to me. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The evil spirits, this is Brother Hagin, that are on earth now could have been part of that original pre-Adamic kingdom. Many Bible scholars agree that even before the flood, a pre-Adamic kingdom existed, because we know from archaeological discoveries that dinosaurs and mammoth animals once lived on the earth. Where did they come from? Perhaps those creatures came from a different kind of creation that existed on the earth before Adam, some kind of a pre-Adamic creation. In Isaiah 14, we have a hint in scriptures of a pre-Adamic kingdom. And this is where it says that Lucifer said, "I will exalt my throne above the throne in the heavens." Now, in studying this, I wrote in my book more about it. And I'm going to read you a little bit of my book here. God, the second verse says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." I believe that God did not create the world or the earth without form and void. And I believe that that state came later. The original language of the Bible reveals this to me. The Hebrew words translated without form and void are the rhyming words tohu va bohu. A Hebrew English lexicon defines them as tohu, formlessness, confusion, unreality, emptiness, chaos, waste, and bohu means emptiness. When I taught along these lines at a Bible school in Munich, a German woman helped me with the definition of this phrase. Her eyes lit up when I began to say the Hebrew words, tohu va bohu. "We know what that means," she said. "The Jews were among us for a long time. It's like you cleaned your house perfectly and it's spotless, but then you walk down the hall and open the door to your teenager's room and you scream, 'This place is tohu va bohu, clean it at once.'" Now, tohu means formlessness, confusion, unreality, emptiness, chaos, waste. God did not create an earth, a formless, confused, empty, chaotic mess. Such a creation would not meet the biblical criteria for God's work. God's work is perfect, Deuteronomy 32:4. God's work is glorious, Psalm 111:3. And the Bible provides its own commentary on tohu va bohu, which we will read tomorrow. And then, of course, we do have this book available that you can order. We are offering my book, The Blood and the Glory, and we are offering The Triumphant Church by Kenneth E. Hagin. Both books on a radio offer only for $18 plus shipping. You can call us at 1-800-972-3447. 1-800-972-3447 and say, "I'd like to have the radio offer." Brother Hagin's book, The Triumphant Church, Billy Brim's book, The Blood and the Glory. And someone will help you. Come to see us if you can. We're right this week in a meeting in Osage Beach, Missouri. Eschatology meeting in the morning, meeting at night. You're welcome there. Call and find out the directions. 1-800-972-3447. This is Billy Brim saying to you, shalom, shalom, until tomorrow.